You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Talking Transfers from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent Graham Bailey and 90 Min's top cat Toby Cudworth. There are two, as we record this, two major matches left of the European season. Notice, Toby, how I got a mention for West Ham in their big final on Wednesday night. We are recording before that. If you're listening after it, what's happened in the game, Toby?
West Ham have won 2-1, and I'm a very, very happy chap. Although, as of right now, I'm very, very nervous.
Graham, what do you reckon?
You know, I think if it had been Basel, West Ham would be winning this. I think Fiorentina are full of dangers for West Ham. I think they're actually, if you look at Fiorentina's side, they're actually quite good. I think it's very similar to West Ham, where West Ham Fiorentina fans will be looking at West Ham's team and go, ah, they're quite good. I think West Ham fans are probably doing the same thing, clicking on Fiorentina. I must admit, I think we could see Luka Jovic play a role here. I hope West Ham win. I really do. But I fear there might be a party in Florence on the night.
Champions League final on Saturday as well in Istanbul. Man City v Inter, foregone conclusion, I think, for all of us. I'm not even going to ask, just nod. Treble happening for Manchester City. You will not hear the nodding on the audio that you're listening to, but both the other guys have just given us a nod. Also, there's an international break coming up at the end of the week as well. Fantastic. I can't wait. I just can't wait.
But do you know how much attention I'm going to pay to it, Scott? Absolutely none.
They've got to fit in so many qualifiers, don't they? Well, this time next year, it's a Euros. And, yeah. And we're hardly into the qualifiers, yeah?
I know. Two games been played so far or something?
Yeah, it's remarkable how many they're going to have to fit in. Let's hope there's no postponements.
Yep. We'll get into the transfers anyway, because the transfer window is about to open. It's not going to be long. There are transfers already on the verge of completion. We'll talk through some of them today. Spurs have finally appointed a manager. Unbelievable. We'll talk about that at the top of the show. We'll also talk West Ham's darling Declan Rice. We'll talk Aston Villa's big plans. We'll talk Messi going back home. We'll talk who's going to Saudi Arabia with Karim Benzema, because that might be a thing to watch out for the duration of the summer. We'll talk Harry Kane, Real Madrid, and Man United as well towards the end of the show. Please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on Twitter @_ScottSaunders, @Toby_Cudworth, and @GrahamBailey, 90min.com/talking-transfers for all the latest from our team on what is happening in the transfer market. 90min_football for all of the social channels for 90 Min as well. Let's start with Tottenham finally appointing a manager. Now, it is... How many candidates did Tottenham run through? Toby, how are you surprised at this one, or does it make sense?
I think ultimately I'm not surprised at the level of manager that Spurs have appointed. I always had a feeling that Nagelsmann Enrique was kind of punching above Spurs' weight for the state of their squad. They need a lot of surgeries to be done to make them competitive again. There's a Harry Kane saga, which is still going to rumble on for a few weeks. So I actually think the appointment is right for where Spurs are. I can't believe that they've given him a 4-year deal. that to me screams Spurs madness. I would have thought 2 years with the option of a further couple or an extra 12 months would have made more sense, because you don't really know how this is going to go. I know Postecoglou has done a superb job at Celtic and he's won back-to-back trebles, but that is in Scotland and Celtic win everything all the time. So there has to be, I'm sure, cautiousness applied by Spurs fans in regards to the appointment. They're optimistic, of course they are, that this might be a bit of a change from what we've seen over the last few years. Mourinho, Conte, the big names haven't worked. So this is a downgrade from that, and it could be what Tottenham need, but it's really, really risky for me.
Graham, what's the details here?
Yeah, for your deal, it's interesting what it does to Celtic. We'll have to see who Celtic go for. It's fascinating who we see, which avenue they will go down, and whether they go a young route like Matthias Gisley from Salzburg, or do they go for tried and tested or a Celtic legend, maybe David Moyes, cough cough there, Toby. Interesting to see what happens there in next
Brendan.
Week. Well, Brendan is an interesting one. As Toby said there, the level of manager for me, this is such a huge risk for Tottenham. Postecoglou goes in there at age 57, distinctly average CV. He's done at Celtic what Neil Lennon did. He's won less trophies than Brendan Rodgers won at Celtic. And where did they go after Celtic? Like to Graham Potter all over. He doesn't have the CV to get the Tottenham job. I think it's a massive, massive gamble from Daniel Levy. For Tottenham fans, it works. But for me, I don't think he's good enough. I really don't for Tottenham. I think if Tottenham is now a top six Champions League team, at that level, he's not good enough for me.
Is it fair, though, to say that Tottenham they've tried with other bosses? And I think this is more of an admission from Spurs that they realise the actual position that they're in. And yeah, obviously the CV isn't like at the level that you'd expect for a big six team in the Champions League. Obviously, he does come with some plus points in terms of the style of football that Spurs want to play. That has been lost over the last 4 years with Mourinho and Conte. And I think there's a clamouring for Spurs fans to get that back. So are they going a bit back to basics here, Toby?
Back to Aussie idealist, isn't it, Guy? Back to Aussie idealist type of manager.
Yeah.
It's going to be expansive, free-flowing. They're going to be open games. Spurs are probably going to score a lot and they're going to continue conceding a lot. But it will be done in a more attractive fashion. And
that's Tottenham.
Yeah, it is. It's very on brand in that respect. And I don't know, has Daniel Levy made this decision in the end to kind of appease the supporters a bit? He's never really done anything like that. But this feels to me like a little bit of a downing of tools from his perspective, because Daniel Levy wants the very best for Spurs, right? They've got the best stadium arguably in the country now that cost close to £1 billion to construct. He's wanted that big name manager to be in place and that hasn't worked. This seems like a big retraction from him, and it's kind of coming back down to a level where some Spurs supporters are calling for a reset. It doesn't feel like a very Levy appointment to me, but maybe he's got to the stage where he just accepts where they are.
Does feel a bit like a reset to me. Is Harry Kane going to stick around for a reset, Graham?
No.
Especially with Real Madrid on the mix now.
Not if he has that option. Not at all. I don't see it. I think it's easier than ever now for him to demand the exit. I think Tottenham fans will respect that he now wants to leave. No Champions League football. The appointment of this Ange Postecoglou, who may provide him with chances. But no, everything's fallen into place, I think, for Harry Kane now. We'll discuss it. Obviously, there's that massive hole in Real Madrid squad now. Looks to be the size of Harry Kane. And, you know, we know that Daniel Levy doesn't want to sell to Manchester United, doesn't want to sell within the Premier League. He's done business with Florentino Perez before, through Gareth Bale, etc.
And Gareth Bale had to go on strike to get that move, though, didn't he?
Well, I think now the manager is appointed. We talked about this previously, didn't we, Scott? I think if he is going to agitate for a move, I think he was waiting for the manager to come in. He's seen who it is now. If he's impressed by him, he might stay. I find it hard to believe that he'll be staying at Tottenham now. I think Harry Kane has one foot out the door here. I really do.
May as well do the section now, even, because Real Madrid to with Harry Kane, Toby, makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, we've talked about Man United and Harry Kane and their interest in him for a long time, but this is something that suits probably Tottenham, probably Kane, Real Madrid as well. Makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Suits all parties. Carlo Ancelotti said post-match on Sunday what Real Madrid would need in terms of a Benzema replacement. It'd be somebody who could score goals, link up the play and be a leader on the field. Kane obviously does all of that and some. This feels like the perfect opportunity now for him to get that big, big move that we feel like he deserves. I've always been a bit reserved about him potentially going to Bayern because I thought, well, the level of competition isn't really there domestically. And you're pinning all of your hopes on winning the Champions League to really achieve something meaningful. Manchester United is difficult to do because of Daniel Levy's stance, selling to another Premier League club. The opportunity to join Real Madrid doesn't come around very often. And now that Karim Benzema has gone, surely this is the time, as Graham said, for Harry Kane to agitate and just say, look, I'm never going to get this chance again. You need to let me go. And for Real Madrid, it's affordable, right? I think they've got the finances to do this, even though Jude Bellingham is going in there. Karim Benzema was on huge wages. So the fact that he's now gone has opened up, as you said, Graham, a Harry Kane size space in their squad. And I think it's a perfect fit because Mbappe is not going to happen this summer.
It's interesting. Are we saying Levy is going
to
be a willing...
You look disappointed there, Scott.
I'm resigned to it. Yeah, I never wanted it to happen, like, to be honest. I think United are better off signing Rasmus Højlund for 40 million quid, 50 million quid, and reinvesting in other areas. obviously, even the most ardent United fan who knows that Daniel Levy does not want to sell to another Premier League club, United have to play 20 million plus more than Real Madrid are, at the least, anyway. It's going to be way more protracted. Going to take far longer. Levy's going to dig his heels in. I think this one suits everyone. Do you think Levy is a willing seller in this instance to Madrid?
I think they'll try and offer him a new deal. I don't think they'll take it. And, you know, I think they'll have a buyback in there. So they'll probably see it as, you know, he'll have 2-3 years there and then maybe come back to Tottenham, continue towards a record maybe. I don't think that's beyond the realms of fantasy. Him coming back when he's, what, 33, 34, you could see him back at the club. I just think it suits Tottenham down to the ground doing this deal. It's perfect for Kane, isn't it? Because he can go with the fans' best wishes. When you go to Real Madrid, it's not really a slap in the face of Tottenham fans, which a lot of them still would have seen that. If he went to United, they still would have seen that. But him going to Madrid is just perfect. Yeah, and I imagine he'll be open to taking, not a reduction, Daniel Levy, but I think Real hope to get him out for less than 100. And as we say, it's not release clause, so it'll be done over a amount of time as well.
You say it might suit Tottenham, does it though, really, Toby? I guess because Tottenham are going to be losing the only player who really scores goals for them this season, their best player in perhaps their best player ever.
Yeah,
you know. That's up for debate, obviously, but he is certainly their best player of modern times and a senior figure. But he's not going to look at, I'm speculating here, but he's probably not going to look at Postecoglou and think, right, let's get going. We can win stuff here. It's not going to happen, is it? So I think there's a natural endpoint here for Harry Kane. But what does Postecoglou do if Harry Kane does go? Because, Graham, he's interested in bringing in some players. Who's he thinking of?
Yeah, from what we understand, he's green-lighted the James Maddison approach for that to continue. So they'll be battling, with Newcastle for him. So that'll continue. So Maddison coming in there, he looks a good fit for Tottenham. To be fair, wherever he goes, he'd be a good fit. He's one of the best attacking midfielders in the Premier League. They want a centre-half as well, which we understand. They like Max Kilman, Tottenham. Someone I like, but like him, Eric Laporte. And there are links with Celtic as well. Lose my voice there. There is a few players that he does like at Celtic who may fit the bill. The main one being Kyogo Furuhashi, the striker. Very good. Richarlison obviously get his chance as well, but I think he will look at Furuhashi, and then there's Hatate as well in midfield, and Jota as well. So it's going to be a very interesting week to see where he goes, but he does need these attackers. But I think James Maddison and Furuhashi might be the first two he tries to get over the line.
One thing I would say about Postecoglou raiding his old club, that is not the level of player that Tottenham will need to get back to competing in the top six for me. And I don't think that's too unjust to say that. But I do think that they've got to bring in six, seven, eight players, regardless of whether or not Harry Kane goes, because he is the only one who scores goals. I know Son contributed in the second half of last season and has generally been superb. But you can't just rely on two players for your output. And I don't think Postecoglou would have gone in there pinning all of his hopes on Harry Kane's going to stay. So there's got to be grand plans for a kind of, I want to say, an upheaval of that squad. They're going to be playing a different shape as well, aren't they? Postecoglou plays 4-3-3 and Spurs have been playing 3-5-2 for the best part of 4 years. So we can expect sweeping changes, right? Both in and out, I'd imagine.
There's a lot of bases to touch here. Obviously, we've mentioned United already. We've mentioned Benzema already. I'm just going to cycle back to them at the end of the show, but I think we'll just throw them in here now because, yeah, I mean, United are going to find it a lot more difficult to do a Harry Kane deal than Real Madrid are, you presume. Is the United have obviously stepped up. It seems interesting. Rasmus Højlund, who Graham, we've said there's been on United's list for a number of months. There's been a short list of younger players that they could potentially develop. And there's been a lot of names there. Højlund, not a prolific scorer by any means, but he's 20 years old, has the raw materials potentially to fit in at United. He's also, if you love a little bit of modern day transfer speculation, he's followed a lot of Man United's players on social media as well. So that is an indicator that the move is done. Is it?
it's not quite done. Obviously, the big indicator, well, possibly, he's just moved the agents. He's now with SEG, who look after Erik ten Hag. But, you know, United don't just sign SEG players. They've signed a few, but it obviously means they do have a hotline through to ten Hag. But Højlund, as you say, Scott, is a player that they've been looking at for a long time, quite a few months. They're not the only club. You know, Chelsea like him a lot. Juventus like him. Which may time with the Vlahovic situation. You know, Vlahovic is the situation United looking at. We're waiting for the Max Allegri situation to re-transpire there. Is he staying? Is he going? That's delayed a bit of the Vlahovic stuff. But Højlund, if they do go for Højlund, it means United are going, it seems, going down this two-striker route, Scott, which we have said they were looking at the experienced guys and the younger guys. Højlund is one of the younger guys. It's his first season in Italy. He's looked the part, strong. But there is a price tag to go with him now. You know, we understand that Atalanta are looking for 70 million euros now, which just over 55 million, which, again, it's not cheap, but it's not massively expensive either, is it really? You know, in today's world, if you're a Champions League team, paying 50 million for a striker isn't much.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
So, yeah, this one is progressing. It's got talks are ongoing. Atalanta resigned to losing him. We understand the player has told Atalanta he wants to go. And, yeah, a really interesting option, one who United like a lot. Not done yet by any stretch of imagination, but, yeah, they are pushing on with this one.
Yeah, we did report that United would ideally like two strikers to join them in the summer. But Anthony Martial would be difficult to shift. He's constantly injured. he's injured again. He's going to be injured for a lot of the summer. How do you sell him? He's got a year left on his contract, I think, till 2024. The United give him one more year on the fringes and bring him in when they can and end up shifting his wages off. And they also have a decision to make on Mason Greenwood's future as well, which is going to be, it's going to be decided at some point in the summer. So, you know, mentioned Dusan Vlahovic there, Graham. You know, if Allegri does stay, then that's potentially an avenue that could open up. I think there's other clubs who want him as well, though. And we obviously know Bayern are looking for a striker. So, and United need to strengthen in a number of different positions. So is Højlund potentially a cheap option? Do they sign two?
I think he'd be one of two, Scott. I think, but if you get him over the line early, it takes the pressure off. Then perhaps you can wait for Vlahovic. If it does go into August, maybe you can wait for him or another deal. But I think with Højlund, if you bring him in, it takes a bit of pressure off. But because we know he probably is looking at two now.
What about Real Madrid? Well, what about Karim Benzema? So Karim Benzema has somewhat surprisingly, I kind of thought he'd stay to the end of his contract until last week, obviously, where the situation changed. There was a little bit of suggestion that, oh, he's leaving. Oh, he's staying. Oh, no, he's actually going. And he is actually going to Saudi Arabia. Just a little bit of detail on that, Graham, before we get into the real meat of this.
Yeah, it was fascinating. I think it was last Friday, wasn't it, that it came out that he told Florentino Perez he wanted to leave. Obviously, everyone around, my sources confirming to me, say he's told him. And then obviously, he came out on the night at some gala event, suggesting all the internet lies. And obviously, I was contacting our sources, saying why he let us down. But it turns out everything was true in the end. And yeah, I'm surprised as well. So I'm surprised he's taking this now. I'm surprised that the last year of his deal at Real with the Euros as well next summer. Surely you'd imagine he spoke to Deschamps before doing this. But it's hard to see France picking a striker from playing the Saudi Arabian League. But as we're going to discuss, does that make good players going to Saudi? It might be of a decent standard by the time next season starts. So yeah, I am surprised. But you do wonder whether the fact that Harry Kane is probably available played into this as well. I don't think Real have thought too hard. But he is going to be getting paid over £250,000 a day in Saudi. So that is very hard to compete with.
Oof, that is mind-shattering money.
And he's not even the highest paid player in the Saudi league.
Well, Cristiano Ronaldo moved there a few months ago. But Graham, tell us more about this grand plan, because the chances are Karim Benzema is not going to be the last top level player to move to this league. Ronaldo's there already. Benzema's going to move there as well. Seeing N'Golo Kante potentially on his way there or having an offer there. How many players are we talking here?
Well, yeah, they want to... This is all about tourism for Saudi. It's a reason that PIF have invested in Newcastle as well. PIF, who confirmed and now basically own the top four teams in the Saudi league as well, amazingly. So they're under the same umbrella as Newcastle. I think they're at least wanting, from what I've been told, at least three marquee players per team. And when we're talking marquee players, we are talking marquee players. We're talking the likes of Benzema, Ronaldo, Messi, who is going to still go to Barca, but at the end of his Barca deal, he might end up there. We're talking these types of players. N'Golo Kante, who we revealed at the weekend, had an offer from Saudi. And it was such a strange one where he had an offer from Saudi, but at that point, even he didn't know which club. PIF have got these four teams under their umbrella now. They're making offers for players and then deciding the club after. It's that point now where it was the same with Benzema as well. We didn't know which club it was for Benzema until after the offer came through. It's fascinating. But I think there's these marquee players, but they're going for others as well. We've seen them linked after Zaha. I'm told that James Tavernier at Rangers, the Rangers captain, someone in the side. So I think we'll see these marquee players. I think there'll be a second level as well. Not dissimilar how we saw things go in China, but I think there's a lot more money behind this one. So it's going to be fascinating, really. And I think it'll be an avenue. We see Chelsea and Man United as well. They'll be looking at Saudi thinking, and we spoke about him there, Anthony Martial. What better place to send Anthony Martial now for next season, Scott? Ooh, what, you can give us a profit on him and take us all his wages? Quite a few flights being booked to Saudi by these big clubs.
It's quite a lot of other high-profile players actually out of contracts this summer, isn't it? Sergio Ramos has left PSG. Luka Modric still hasn't put pen to paper at Real Madrid. I've seen his name mentioned in the last couple of days. Aubameyang and Chelsea, parting of the ways. Roberto Firmino still doesn't have another club. So there is lots of scope there for, I don't know, four or five others to follow Benzema this summer. Kante would be an interesting one. That's another situation where I look at it and I think Chelsea should be thanking their lucky stars if a Saudi Arabian club is willing to take on Kante's wages and pay him 100 million or whatever the rumoured figure is for the next 2 years. That will allow Chelsea to move on instead of this ludicrous new contract offer that they are giving or considering giving to him.
It looks like they're backed away from that a little bit. It's backed away. I do wonder whether Poch has played a part there where, and we talk about Chelsea, suddenly Kovacic and Kante wages coming off. We're talking over £500,000 a week there, Chelsea say, but I know they're not into saving much money at the best of times, but that's a big wedge off their wage bill.
Plenty to keep an eye out on that. The Anthony Martial shout, Graham. I didn't even put two and two together there, but that might be
I think we'll see some of these. Yeah, I think we'll see. I said James Tavernier at Rangers. I think, you know, someone like Marcus Thuram, who's a big free agent in Europe, wouldn't surprise me to see if they come in with a cheeky offer. As to Toby said, I think some of these second level players who are big frees wouldn't surprise me if we end up seeing a good 20 to 30 European based players head over there.
Let's move to irons in the fire, because they will be in the fire on Wednesday night trying to win a European trophy. What will happen with Declan Rice in the immediate aftermath of West Ham winning or losing their final?
Well, the short of it is bids. The bidding war will begin for Declan Rice. Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, Man United, all primed, interested and ready to test West Ham's resolve. Of 100 million, that is the asking price. We've said that time and time again. Still don't know whether or not any of the interested clubs are willing to go that far. And we don't anticipate the opening bids to be near that figure. I think we might have a bit of chess coming up over the next few weeks. Clubs positioning themselves and actually seeing how West Ham responds to initial offers. But we are expecting that final to be played on Wednesday. And by the end of the week, the first offers to have gone in for Declan Rice. And then we will have more of an idea about how this is going to play out this summer.
In the England squad, he is, right?
Yep, always. Never gets a rest as Declan plays every game.
Yep. That will be an interesting one to watch over the course of the next few weeks. Obviously, let's move through to another team that plays in similar colours to West Ham. Aston Villa targeting an Unai Emery favourite, Graham.
One of our podcast favourites, isn't he, Scott?
One of your favourites.
I like him.
3 years.
I like him. Well, he was nearly one of your favourites, wasn't he? When he nearly signed for United.
Nearly.
Varane instead, wasn't it? Paul Torres, obviously, we're talking about Spanish international. A terrific centre-half. Big player for Villarreal. It seems they've narrowed down the list at Villa to two. Aymeric Laporte is the one they've been talking to as well. As we know, excellent Premier League centre-half. Paul Torres actually would cost a little bit more, but his wages would be a lot less. Because Laporte is on big money at City. He's also got Tottenham looking at him, Laporte. So it's an interesting one. But they are looking at these two, and I think it is a big upgrade for them. I think Torres and Laporte would be a good upgrade for Villa. It's the sort of players I think they should be looking at. They're both top four players, in my opinion, so I think they would be very good. An interesting one. Poor Torres, though, looks like Villa's coming through firmly. And, I'll be delighted to see him in England, Scott. He'll be in that 90-minute team of the week on a regular basis. I do like poor Torres. I think he's one of those players that we'll see come in and within 12 months he'll be getting linked with a big move again, because he'll be that good.
Where he'll be costing 80 million quid again.
Yeah.
Because Villa don't need to sell him.
Yep. Not going to go into the category of the nearly man, is he? Where we talk about him being linked to a big club. every other summer, and then it doesn't actually happen. He just stays
at the... Yeah, I think he was just second choice for a lot of teams, wasn't he? He was at United second choice, and like Chelsea. He was on Chelsea's list before they had splashed the cash elsewhere. Very interesting player, though.
Let's move on to some potentially done deals. Let's do... We haven't done Alexis McAllister yet, so... Ooh. Graham, that is, as we record, this is not done, but it is done, basically.
Yeah, it's done with the player. He's having his medical. This is really interesting from a Brighton end. Brighton are really straight batting this. They've said all along there was no clause in his contract. Now, I think they might get around this by suggesting the terminology of it. We've been told there might be a mechanism in his contract to get him out. So not a clause, but a mechanism. And that's why Liverpool are doing this. I was told this morning that it could be as low as 40 million initially, which would be staggering. It really would. It's very unlike Tony Bloom to put this sort of clause in. Sorry, a mechanism in someone's contract to do this. But yeah, it looks as if I think there might be other add-ons. So I think the initial fee would be that, with add-ons taking it possibly as high as 50, 60. That's the inclination, but Brighton are keeping the cards close to chest. They do insist there's no release clause, but there is something there to get him out. And then that takes on the Caicedo as well. They insist there's no release clause with him, but is there a mechanism in Caicedo's as well? Brighton, they're really interesting. We have to keep an eye on this. But yeah, but in terms of McAllister, he is Liverpool's first big signing. They've got it done. They wanted it done early, and they've got him.
That's mad. 40 million for Alexis McAllister. I'm amazed every big club in the country has not been all over that. If that is the true figure, because he is one of the best.
There have been talking to him. Yeah, there have been talking. There was having rumours about, I can't remember where it came from. The rumours that because they weren't Champions League, McAllister wasn't interested, which were nonsense. His dad has been talking to them for months. I think it's just the fact that he wanted to play for Klopp and Liverpool did appeal. I know they're not top four anymore, but I think there was only, from what I'm told, there was only really City who could have challenged them for this. But City have gone for Kovacic. Bellingham didn't happen, so Phillips isn't gone yet. So I think with City not pushing hard on him, I think Liverpool was his first choice.
Is that an initial 40 with potential add-ons?
Yeah, so we believe so. Yeah.
Report, yeah. 40.
Yeah, we believe so. I think it will take that initial 40 to go in. But yeah, we'll have to see. We need this mechanism explaining, Scott. But obviously, for Brighton simply to say there's no clause, yeah, there might not be a clause, but there's something in there to get him out. There really is.
Well, lovely transition here from mechanisms and clauses to levers, because I'm going to go to Barcelona and Leo Messi. Barcelona have been pulling lever after lever after lever. Do they have to pull more little tricks to get Leo Messi over the line, Graham? Is this, like we've said this, it's just always a matter of time, right? Is it, how much time more are we talking here? Is this Barca's highest priority? I know that like Martinez from Athletic has left the club, for example, but Messi's top choice, first choice?
Yeah, I think technically getting the Gavi and Araujo contract signed off might be top of the list, but obviously Messi is a free transfer. Martinez is a free transfer. So getting all these contracts done is in essence their top priority. But yeah, Messi is the one. We know George Messi was talking. He was at Laporta's house, wasn't he, yesterday? It's just a matter of how they're going to get this done. As we discussed on the show previously, they've been looking at all sorts of avenues to go down, whether Messi could become a part of Barcelona's board to help with it, whether he could be signed by Inter or a Saudi club and then loaned back to Barcelona. They are exploring every single
Inter Miami, avenue. Not Inter Milan.
Inter Milan, sorry, Inter Miami. Yeah, I was looking at Inter Milan on my screen. Inter Miami, yeah. So yeah, I think that might still happen with the Saudi club. But yeah, he's coming back to Barcelona. He really is. We shouldn't say the Camp Nou because he won't be playing at the Camp Nou. Probably he'll probably want to stay there until, was it a 2-year building operation there? So we might not see Lionel play back at the Camp Nou, given how long that might take. But yeah, we fully expect it, Scott. We've said this since January. We've had it from Messi's people. This was always the target. And, you know, they've got this far. They're not going to have got this far from turning down PSG to all this. And it's not about money for him. It really isn't about money. Yeah, he's not going to pay for €10 a game. But this isn't about money for him now. It's about going back to Barcelona and seeing what he can do. under Xavi. It's going to be fascinating. But yeah, I think it, and I'm told it is a matter of when it happens, not if.
How romantic, Toby.
Yeah. Is it romantic? I suppose it is. But the only thing that gets me here is that Barcelona are having to move so many different things to make it happen. Doesn't really sit comfortably, does it? Because their finances are still clearly an absolute mess. They've still got to register those contracts, haven't they, Graham?
Gavi, Araújo. They're the main two because I think Gavi and Araújo, no matter what the players say, as long as those contracts don't go unsigned, the agents are working in the background, letting all the other big clubs, the Uniteds, the Cities know, ooh, you might be able to get Araújo or Gavi for free. Luckily for Barca, those two players, it is quite lucky or fortunate that neither of those two players have shown a willingness to leave. They both could have left on freeze for all intents purposes, but they've shown no willingness to look for other offers. But yeah, those two and Messi, and I think, as Scott said, Martinez, the left-sided defender, he's agreed his free transfer as well, which is why Laporte isn't going to Barcelona either.
Well, everyone wants to join Barcelona, don't they? Has been evidenced over the last few years. But yes, despite all the financial troubles, et cetera, Barca still have that pull. So, matter of time till Messi goes back. McAllister's joining Liverpool, formality essentially, and another number of other clubs are looking to get their transfer windows kicked off, and Saudi Arabia are building their own competitive league. So that's today's show in a nutshell. Graham, Toby, thank you very much. Please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on Twitter @_ScottSaunders, @Toby_Cudworth. And @GrahamBailey, nightymin.com/talkingtransfers for all the latest. Follow us throughout the summer on that feed and on nightymin.com and on nightymin_football on all the social channels. Thanks, guys. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. And we'll see you soon for another Talking Transfers.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.